So I want to bring across to you today an idea that the same way you judge people is the same way, or the way you judge people will be the same way people will judge you. There is a spiritual law, in effect, that I was reading a couple of times this week, actually three times, or one time I was reminded by just reading, and I was just reading last night in my Bible, that God hears everything you say. Not only that, but the devil hears everything you say. And he knows that when we sow words, seeds, they go into effect. And I want to remind you that this message is for everybody. Don't say, well, you know, brother and sister so-and-so should be here this morning. They needed this. No, yeah, you need it. I need it. Amen. Praise God. Everybody needs it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't judge people. Okay. Praise God. Amen. Let's go here, introduction. Jesus is speaking to his followers here. And he's making a statement, and the statement is thus for us today. A perfect word for our time. A very perfect word for a time in this hour. Judging others makes you guilty of playing judge, right? Jury, and executioner. The Lord is saying, hey, don't judge other people, and you won't be judged in the same manner. But if you do judge others, watch out, because you will be judged in the same manner without mercy. Amen? That's what it says here. The question is, you know, we need to ask ourselves, have we made judgments lately on people? If you've made judgments on people lately, you'll find, you know, when you say this, immediately people excuse themselves from this practice and said, you know, like I mentioned, you know, so-and-so needs to hear this. But we need to hear this more than anybody else, even when we think we don't do this. But there's many ways you can judge without even noticing you judging people. Today, people make judgment. They make judgment statements across the board without even thinking. They'll constantly judge other people on Facebook, social media. They'll judge the government. They'll judge other people. They'll constantly get at people and just make statements that are harsh. If you read your New Testament, it says, do not judge people. Do not say negative things about people. Don't even say one thing bad about anybody. One thing. And so we shouldn't practice this, because God wants us not to do this, because it's going to get us in trouble. So what is judgment? You know, you could just find a dictionary and you can look at the Greek, whatever, but judgment really is to form an idea and give your opinion about something, even something that you don't really understand. You know, you could give your opinion and judge something, a situation or a person, but don't really have the full impact of the understanding what's going on in a person, because you don't know what goes on in someone's life. We don't know what goes on in people's lives, and yet we make statements about people. And we say things, like I said, we will do this sometimes, not even knowing. And so we have to take an evaluative look at our own selves and look at this from the perspective of what only God can show us. He gives us the light of revelation. So judging is forming opinions or ideas about someone without careful consideration and not understanding and knowing the full importance or full about the whole thing. So it's making a decision or an idea about somebody. We'll look at an illustration about this later on. So when you form opinions about people we do that with people, like when morality, some more moral thing, we say, well, he shouldn't have done that, you know. Trudeau shouldn't have done that, or you know, somebody shouldn't have done that, whatever. So we form these opinions, particularly with sinful behavior. When we think it's sinful, we think some sins are worse than other sins. But sin is sin. God sees sin the way it, you know, the way it is, the way it value it is. So when we see Jesus' response to individuals in the Bible, and we need to take example, it gives us a proper way of thinking about judging people with the way Jesus handled things. So Jesus had a significant way to deal with people, and we should also. Judging has a significant impact on our personal lives in a very powerful way. When we form opinions of people and we judge people, and sometimes we deliberately judge people very harshly, that has significant impact on your life. And the importance of it is very, you know, very, very powerful. Look at what the Lord's response here. We're going to see something here about judging. Notice what Jesus did and what he said. His reaction should be our response towards other people who fail or do something in life that may be wrong. When we do something wrong and we know it's wrong, we would like other people to have mercy on us. We'd like to have people, we would like to comfort. And we all like mercy instead of having judgment upon us. So in John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11, we'll read the New Living Translation and see what Jesus' response is here. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. This is verse 2. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. Verse 3. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Verse 4, teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act in the act of adultery. Verse 5 says, the law of Moses says, stone her. What do you say? Verse 6, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Verse 7, they kept demanding an answer, and he stooped up again and said, all right, but let one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Verse 8, then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Verse 9 says, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, and until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Verse 10 says, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she says. Verse 11. And Jesus said to her, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So Jesus never condemned this woman. And yet everybody was going by the letter of the law, applying the law to the fullest extent. And sometimes we take scriptures and we pound the head of our neighbor, our friend. And it's unwise to take scripture, especially for unbelievers, and charge them with this, because they can't follow the law. We couldn't follow the law on our own. But we have the Holy Spirit who helps us follow God. And so we shouldn't take scripture and pound people's heads and tell them, you should do this, you should do that. And, you know, Jesus didn't condemn her. This was his way of operating. And I think we need take a good, you know, example there. So making quick personal opinions is not wise. There are times when we've made personal statements about people, or even when we've agreed with other people's statements about someone else or something, and not knowing the whole truth, we agree with that. We might say something, maybe give our head a shake, and, you know, we don't say something. We don't do anything. We just let someone go on and on and on and make statements. I think we should make some effort. You know, we don't want to offend the other guy for saying something, so we don't say anything. Could be our friends, could be someone we love. Brother Hagin gave us one time an illustration of judging other people. He stated he was at a minister's conference. You know, after a meeting, people gather up together and they talk and they exchange stories and so on. And she was at this conference and one of the ministers made a judgmental statement about another minister who failed. And Brother Hagin made this statement. After listening to the man, he said, you know, that guy ought to know better than that. And that kind of tone of voice, you know how you say things too, could mean a whole lot. And later on that evening when he went home, getting ready for bed, and while in prayer, he was kneeling in his bed, by his bed, he said, their whole room lit up. Brighter than the noonday sun, he said. It was dark. And he heard a voice speaking to him, saying this, why have you judged your brother? The voice said to him. He said, I never judged him. I was just saying what the other guy said about him. Then the voice said, the Lord says, why have you judged your brother? And this went on for three times. Then he was making some statements. About that time, Jesus gave him the scripture. He said, when you judge, when you say and repeat what other people have said, you are judging somebody. You're doing the same thing as other people. So when you judge, when you say something negative in reaction or in agreement with the other person, you're doing exactly that person, what the person said. And Jesus gave him a scripture found in Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. He said, who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. The Lord, with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. You know, we're all servants of God. We're children of God, but we all serve God, and we've all failed in different ways. We failed when we didn't even want to fail. I've known that. I've been working in the ministry for years, and I have more occasion to probably fail more than you because I deal with more people on a given day in a personal way, in a personal situation that affects many people. And so I've made so many mistakes with people, sometimes not even knowing. I've had people say to me, they were mad at me for years for something, and then told me later on they were mad at me and had resentment because I didn't even know. I didn't had no intentions of hurting them. So that person was making a statement or judgment about something that I didn't even know anything about it. You know what? Sometimes it's better for you not to even say something to that person because they don't know. And just go ahead and keep it between yourself and God if you form ideas and opinions about someone. I've had one guy said to me one time, man, you know, I'm sorry what bad things I said about you. Then I had no dealings with that person. I said, I wonder what he said. What did I do? And so we've all had those situations. So judging is making personal statements and opinions about people and their ways. Judging others has great impact on our spiritual condition, on our hearts. Only God can truly judge the intents of people's hearts. He's the only one who knows the hearts of people. The Bible says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. Psalm 139 in verse 1, the New Living Translation says, we can only see the outward appearance of people with our natural eye, but we can't see the hearts of people. Here's what Jesus said to those religious leaders in a situation, and many will take notice at this, not one person was able to judge that person caught in the act of adultery in that particular sin. Jesus said, John 8:15, you judge by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. You know, we take standards that, I don't know what standards, maybe It has nothing to do with Scripture. We use standards and we judge people. And we shouldn't, according to Scripture. Now, there's a time you have to evaluate things, but it's different than condemning someone. We judge things from a natural viewpoint, and we should be careful how we act during every situation, not to give our opinion so freely. It seems that God would want us to show mercy instead of laying judgments on someone. Mercy over judgment is the best way. Giving somebody mercy. Giving them all the rope they need, so to speak, until they can stop. God's way is the best way. And His nature is to love people. To love them in their sin, in a way they are, but we don't accept the negativity, but we love the person. When the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel over in the 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, He told him about choosing or going to pick the next leader, a king. Jesse had these sons, and he was to pick the next king. And so, you know, Samuel went and he went to the house of Jesse. He had all these sons, and they looked really majestic and wonderful. They were tall, handsome, and great appearance. This gives us a real good picture about how we do things, judging by human standards. He said, "Don't judge his appearance or height, for I've rejected him." Because notice that Samuel had picked this one, but he was wrong. He said, "The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So, you know, we might be doing things, sometimes we judge people. We don't know their life, how they got to be the way they are. We don't know what their home was like, and they're affected by it today. It's still crippling them on the inside. We make statements, you know, that hurt them. Say things to them or about them. And so the Lord says, don't look at the outward things, the way that person is looking. But He said, I'm looking at the heart. I looked at the intents of everyone's heart. And God sees your heart and knows, you know, even when you've made judgment statements, God sees your heart. And He knows that you don't know everything. But if you got that heart that really want to condemn someone, you know, you need to be careful. We can't judge and make statements about people and issues with our convictions. You know, we need to give mercy to people and help them. If we want mercy, we have to give mercy. So it's a serious matter in church, especially when we should know better. There are differences between judging people and making evaluations for change. We all need to do that for personal reasons. We need change. We need to make things right in our own personal lives and with other people. But judging is a serious matter. We are to pay close attention to what Jesus said. And notice these following words here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. He said, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged." Which is a spiritual law. So we shouldn't judge others if we don't want that same treatment. Being judged is not a good thing to experience, especially when something is not true. People can say things about you and, you know, make statements. And you know, I've really repented from that. I really made an effort in my life, particularly as a pastor. And I remember having suffered critical things in the city. People, you know, said bad things about Faith City Church at the time, Victorious Nations, and at that time. And I was wondering why is this happening? Because I was doing it myself, publicly. Even from the pulpit, in some way, you know, saying different things. So I don't want to bring junk to the pulpit. Not if I understand and know it, not intentionally. And judging, particularly judging other churches, criticizing other churches, criticizing, you know, something. Now, you have to say some things in evaluation. That's a different story if you're making those, you know, qualifications, and you have to be very careful at doing that, because people will take note and they'll, you know, maybe even make another judgment. So there's only one that is qualified to judge. Only God is qualified to judge. The way He deals with you is the way you should deal with other people. Many believers in church don't believe this, or else they wouldn't practice this. They wouldn't be passing judgment. And this is what Jesus, He goes on to say, verse 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 7, "Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you with that, get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past with the log in your own eye?" That's pretty blunt, Jesus making those statements. First, deal with your own self and do some self-evaluation before we can help someone else. To truly, really, really repent, to change our minds about our own self, be careful helping somebody else. Sometimes we try to help somebody else. We say, "Hey, guys, I'm helping this guy here. He's down and out, and here I'm taking a picture with him on Facebook and showing a picture. Here I'm giving him a dollar even." And that's why Jesus said, don't let anybody know if you're helping a poor person. Don't put it publicly and tell people, "I'm helping someone." Right? He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Because you put shame on someone. Right? You know, I want help, but please don't put it on Facebook. You know? I mean, we don't want that, right? Everybody said, deal with yourself. Church your neighbor and said, deal with yourself. I know that could mean a lot to us, eh? You know? I mean, that's uncomfortable. You know, deal with yourself. Well, shut up then. That's what we used to say. We were a kid. You shut up. No, you shut up too. You remember those little fights you had in the school ground? We used to say, Ish you. I know they're going to have to cut this on TV. Matthew 7, verse 5, New Living says, "Hypocrite!" We don't like to be called hypocrites, eh? So he said, "I don't like going to church. There's too many hypocrites in church." Well, he said, "Come on, just join the rest of us." Amen? Hypocrite, he says, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. We should know what the Bible says about making judgments about other people. We need a healthy perspective, a biblical perspective when it comes to dealing with judging. It's a huge deal when we judge people, because it brings problems in our own lives, on our own selves. People have been judged by other people, understand this, and they understand the next time something happens, they're not so quick and critical and harsh in dealing with other people, because they know what it feels like to experience judgment. Oh man, it's tough being condemned, right? It's tough. Especially when you're out there, you know, some of us, you know, I've gone to court and other people judge me with my sin, because when I was under the influence or whatever, and they would say different things, it's hard not finding a job when you want to find a job. Or people trying to trust you because you want to be trusted. You want to be given a chance, right? So when making judgments about other people, You'll pay for it later. It'll come back your way somehow. It'll make its way back to you. That's why Pastor Ken and I, we judge each other constantly. You know, we just tease each other. We just tell each other about different things. But we don't really mean it. But we just, you know, sometimes we have to watch it. Galatians 6:7 says this. You know, things have a way of making its wrong back to you. Don't be misled. You cannot mock justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant. So planting words, somehow, they get back to you. You say something bad about somebody, all of a sudden you're going to start hearing things about yourself. Hello? I remember very, very, you know, I don't hear a lot of bad things about myself. I don't. And if I did, I don't even pay attention to it. I don't. And I practice this. You know, because I used to do it a lot. I used to just judge people, make statements, and I try to tell people, hey, listen, don't say that about the prime minister. It might be true. Don't even say it. In fact, we shouldn't even say it. If he's doing wrong, hey, you're not the prime minister. You've never been in his shoes. Because they're under pressure in many sides, people pulling them, and they see things you don't even see. You know? So let's give them some breaks here. Make a change. Make a change. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, but if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged in this way. So if we don't like this kind of treatment, we should hush up. If you got nothing to say, don't say it. How many of you know it's hard when you're fighting with your flesh? You want to say something. Eh? I mean, you know you're justified. You know it might even be true. And you want to just say it. We talked about Wednesday night about your spirit, your inward man, and your outward man, your flesh is fighting to make assertion in your life, to really have, you know, the reins on life. And your spirit needs to be fed the Word of God to be stronger. But your flesh is constantly alive. You'll never stop having trouble with your flesh. Never. And you'll always have to renew your mind. As long as you're here in this world, and as long as you're here in this world, you'll always have trouble with the devil. You'll never stop having trouble with the devil. And you'll never have to never stop dealing with the flesh. That's a constant. So we have to be fully aware. We have to examine our hearts, according to the scripture, repent, so that we can avoid judgment. How? By correcting our own selves. Saying, Lord, I know that was wrong. Do it quickly. Don't wait till you get to church next Sunday. Just do it right away. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. And I find myself judging God lots of times. I do. I said, Lord, I wouldn't, if I were you, man. I was telling the Lord, if I was you, I would help me. That's what I say sometimes. And I go on and on and on, tell God how he ought to do things in my life and everything else. None of you have done this? Telling the Lord how he should run my life. And by the way, why did you send me these people? I asked for somebody different. Paul says to the Corinthians, we ought to let God correct us and deal with us, then be disciplined and corrected by everyone else in the world. I remember God told the men of God, he says, you're going to have three judgments. Famine, was it famine? For 7 years, is it? And be judged by the sword, and I can't remember what it was, or be judged by God. And he said, Lord, you judge me. I'd rather be judged by God than you condemning me. Because we know God is merciful. He's kind. And so we don't want to be judged by that. 1 Corinthians 12:32, New Living says, "Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world." You will eventually be judged when you don't make the effort to change and self-evaluate and do those things that are necessary. So stop being harsh on other people. Don't be harsh on people. Show mercy. Everybody say, show mercy. Here's what James says. James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, he says, "So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free." So there's a law, a spiritual law that's there. You could be set free or you could be judged. "There'll be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others, but if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you." You know, I was going to read the story about, I have it in another thing I was working on, another, I was working on two sermons this week, and the Lord said to bring this message, and so I started studying, but it was two other messages I was studying, and I was supposed to give this one. And because I've been working at this one for a while, and one day I was going to actually give the message. The Lord said, "No, don't do it today." I said, "Oh no, I was going to give it today." He said, "No, don't do it today. I want you to do this one." And so, you know, you have to follow what the Lord says, right? It's good to be following the Lord. So, you'll be judged the same way by the same law used on other people. You will not experience mercy when you have not shown mercy, according to the scripture. God will be merciful when he judges you. We want him to show us mercy. Don't act like you're perfect, and you'll never, we can't just say, you know, I've not done that. Here's a scripture. The NIV says, James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the same scripture. "Speak and act as though those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Right? I was going to share that story that I was working on, and this guy, this minister, who, Jesus talks about judging, you know, talks about the man who owed $1 million in the scriptures. He owed $1 million, and the boss says, you owe, so you're going to have to go to jail, and you're going to have to pay with your life. So he fell down and he said, "God, forgive me." And the boss said, "Okay, I'm going to forgive you." He let him go because he had pity on him. Isn't that wonderful? But then the man went out and he judged his friends, the guys that worked for him. And he made real judgment on that guy. He said, "How much you owe me?" The guy says, "This much, I can't pay it." He said, "Please forgive me, give me time, I'll pay it." He said, "Nope, you're going to jail, your wife, your children are going to be sold." He didn't show judgment. And so someone heard about what he did to his friend, and he went to told the master, the king. Yeah. And so he said, the guy that you let go, he went out and did this and so, and he judged him and had him put in prison and so on. And the Lord said, "Let's talk to this guy." He dealt with him. He said, "The same way you dealt with that guy, I want to deal with you." But first of all, he was given mercy. But the second time, he didn't. Because he dealt so harshly with the guy. Now, here's a story that Brother Hagin related to us. He said there was this guy who was, I guess he was a minister. Pastor Ken relates to this guy. Oh, I've got to add him in there. Somehow he's in my story. He said, I don't know why you weave me into some of your sermons. Anyways, the guy, you know, he was driving down the road. He was speeding, and the police stopped him and gave him a large ticket. Then he went to court. They said, the judge says to him, you have some choices here. You need to pay this fine or go to jail. If you can't pay the fine, you go to jail today. I don't know how that was, but anyway. And so he says, okay, Lord, I was guilty. Yes, I'm guilty, tells the court. Yes, I did speed. I deserve to pay the fine. I don't have any money. But Lord, Judge, I'm asking you for mercy. Because the Bible says that God gives mercy over judgment. He said, and the judge was talking to him. He said, is that in the Bible? He said, yes, that's in the Bible. The judge says, okay, we'll set you free. I'm going to use this in my next Bible study, the judge said. So he let him go. It's good to have mercy, right? So next time you go in front of the court, Pastor Ken, No, I better watch it. I repent. So you will get what you've given out, what you dish out. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. If you judge, you'll judge. If you've been harsh on people, you'll be harsh on people. If people talk about you or you talk about people, people will talk about you. How you treat people will be, you'll get it back. Somewhere along the line, it's going to come back to you. I don't know where or how, but it's coming back. Altar's free, guys. Close the door. Everybody say, close the door. In the book of Job, we see behind the scenes here a judgment. The Lord said to Satan in Job 1:7, NIV, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Where have you come from? The Lord answered Satan. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. You think that's still happening? Is he still patrolling around, walking at your street, and when you jump in a car and you go to the liquor store, you think he's there with you? Eh? When you go to the casino, he's there. And I know you got more makeup on than usual. You dyed your hair, put a wig on, big eyelashes. But he's there with you. When all the lights go on, what are you watching? You know, remember before they used to say, put your computer on in the living room so everybody will see going by. That's what they used to tell us, right? Remember? You watch your children doing something. And the men, you know, they said men had pornography problems, but it says today, research says women have just as much trouble as men with pornography. And I know that because being a pastor, you know, you deal with different things. So it's the same issue, not just a man problem. So we see this. Satan is looking around, and he's watching what's going on. He's looking for someone to destroy. John 10:10 says the thief comes to destroy it. He wants to destroy what you got, something good from you in your life. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 says Satan is waiting for his opportunity so he can attack you. And so the devil really can't attack you if you watch how you act, if you watch yourself. So Satan, he can't just come in your home and start attacking you unless you open the door. He can't destroy you unless you allow him to destroy you. Like, you have more to do with what's going on in your life than you actually know. People blame the devil for everything, but they open the door. If you go to bed at night and leave your door open, you don't know who's going to come in your house. At, you know, I'm on, we're on, we have, you know, on Kern River, we have a page. Well, I don't have a page, but there's a page. Somebody made a create a page, but they always said, lock your doors. There's somebody going wrong. And we got pictures about this guy going wrong, these people going wrong, stealing, you know. And I had one guy come up and appear in my front door. But you don't know who's coming around. Well, the devil is, for sure. Spiritually, he's watching. So he can't just come in unless you open the door. And opening the door through judging people, getting critical, that'll open the door pretty quick. So even Job accused God of being unfair. He opened the door to Satan into his own life. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Verse 8 says, Job 1:8, NIV. Jehovah said unto the adversary, Hast thou seen thy set that heart against my servant Job? Because there's none like him in the land, a perfect and upright, fearing God and turning aside from evil. That's the Young's translation says. Job was a good man, very famous in his day. He was very rich, very influential in his city. The devil wanted him out. How many people know that the devil wants to accuse you and get you out of the will of God so that he can just condemn you so that you will not be effective for God? He wants to take good people out who are influencing other people for Jesus, for the kingdom of God. The devil can't just come in, as I mentioned, and just destroy you. You have to help him. So why and how does Satan come into people's lives? When we get judgmental is a perfect way to open the door. Satan had access to Job, but God drew his protection as much as he could around Job. And the devil wanted Job to be gone. So God does not want us like Job. God does not want us to be destroyed. He wants us to be protected. When Job opened the door, Satan came in. If you open the door, you allow Satan to come in your life. But also Job's friends started to judge as well. Make all kinds of judge Satan. Verse 23-24, Job 37. New Living says, we cannot imagine the power of the Almighty. But even though he is just and righteous, he does not destroy us. No wonder other people everywhere fear him. All who are wise should show reverence. So in a certain time, God finally spoke to him. Job said, if God was here, I would ask him some questions. Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take? Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh on me the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity, if I have strayed from his pathway, or if my heart is lusted after what my eyes have seen, or if I am guilty of any sin. Job 31, verse 4 to 7 says. So Job judged God. He started to accuse God of things he didn't know about. Everything God does, the Bible says, is just and fair. And so sometimes, you know, we don't understand. We say to God, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. And so we should be able to, you know, we answer things for ourselves. We don't see the whole picture of what God's doing. Sometimes you want something to happen in your life, but and then you make judgments about the Lord. And you say things. The Bible says here in Job 38, 1 to 7, the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind, "Who is that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man because I have some questions for you. And you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined the dimensions and stretched out this surveying line? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shout for joy?" So many people are confused about things that are going on around the world, but they still make judgments about God. You know, if I was God, I wouldn't let that prime minister get in power. You know, if I was judge, I would take out the pastor right away. The first thing I'd do. Finally, Job came to a place where he admitted and repented. His problems occurred because of his judgmental heart, and he repented, and God restored him and blessed him more than he could ever imagine. Job forgave his friends, and then he prayed for them. Job 42:10 says, "When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before." Thank you, Lord. So, how do we open the door to the enemy? You open the door by judging. Being the judge, jury, and executioner. You know, I'd kick him out. If I were, I would kick him out. Kick him out. If that is your husband, I'd kick him out. He's a bum. You know? Right? People say, yeah, go ahead, kick him out. Judging is a spiritual matter. We find fault with people, and people ask us sometimes for your opinion about things. And we gladly say, let me tell you what I would do. Huh? I want to tell you what I do. If I were you, that kind of a man, that kind of a woman, don't even deserve to live. Going as far as you could. So we find fault. Evil spirits are assigned to you so they can bring judgment on you. They're looking for ways so that judgment will come back to you. Let's go ahead and read here Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, New Living. "When there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown into the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of God and the authority of Christ, for the accuser of the brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, and the one who accuses them before God day and night.'" So, accuses his brother, he's here. And he'll accuse you quick as anything else. If you make a mistake, he'll say, "Look at you. What kind of a Christian are you anyway?" Right? What kind of a dad are you? What kind of a parent are you? Look at that. What's going on in your life? You're not fit to be a parent. What kind of a ministry helps person are you anyway? Getting off that. You should be working harder than everybody else. You should be giving more money, praying hard all day long. Right? If I were you, I wouldn't even done that. I mean, look at you making that kind of mistake. I would have never done that. And we judge people. We don't know their background. We don't know their weaknesses. We don't know what kind of family they come from, what kind of opportunities they had, that you had to prepare yourself for a certain thing, but they never did. You know? So the devil plays this game with us so that we can all judge each other. You know, saying something bad once in a while doesn't really hurt anybody. You know? And so we do these things and we feel justified, you know. Well, after all, you know, they're horrible anyway. They're horrible parents. You know? They're horrible leaders. So, avoiding judgment comes by walking in love. If you walk in love, you avoid all that trap. Revelation 12:11, and defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Are we afraid to die for our friends? Or we die for them? The blood of Jesus says mercy. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. Glory to God. God's so good that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank God for his mercy, his grace, his kindness towards us. There's nobody like our God. Amen? He's such a good Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus today for your loving kindness and your tender mercies is ours today. Lord, we thank you. We look to our own selves today. We ask you to forgive us of anything we have said that might have been offensive in your sight, that we have judged people. Maybe we said something, maybe we agreed with someone that could have been true, but we've judged someone. And so, Father, we could turn our way, turn it around and say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you for your kindness towards me. Lord, next time we promise to see through your eyes, your loving eyes of mercy, and to walk in love, just like you did with that woman who committed adultery, that we are not to judge that woman as we would judge anyone else, because we ourselves are not without sin. We've wronged, we've done things that's not just right. So thank you this day. We praise you, Lord God. We ask you for the prayer of forgiveness. Forgive me. Forgive my words. Cancel everything I've said that's wrong. And so we pray for other people. Maybe someone has judged us. And so, Father, right now we ask your forgiveness of those words and those judgments that people made about us. We ask you to forgive them. We release them. We'll never bring it up again. If it comes up again, we'll say it's under the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that we will not judge our government in a harsh way. We pray for them instead. We'll not judge leadership, family members who have been acting like fools. We'll help them. We'll pray for them. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. If you're watching this program, and if you're here this morning, you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's a good time to say, Jesus, I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for our sins. He is the Savior of the world. I'm asking him to come in my life. I repent of my ways. I turn away from my life. Repenting means turn away. Not just saying a prayer, but turning away. Be willing to turn away. Now you don't have to do it alone. God will help you to turn away. He'll help you every step of the way to turn away from your life, your old life, and come back to him. You're not standing alone. You're not walking alone. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the ability. He'll open the doors, and he will protect you until the day you die and see him. Thank you, Lord. And if you're watching online, you can do the same thing and say, God, forgive me. I'm a Christian and I've done those things. Forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me and I repent. I turn away from being critical and judging people. And I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be treated with harshness. I want to be totally free from judgment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I pray for everyone here in the name of Jesus. I pray over them spiritually like I've been praying for them regularly on a daily basis. I confer the blessing of God upon you. I ask God for a special blessing for everyone in this ministry, in this church, those that are here, those that are watching online. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, a special blessing of God to come your way. Be totally free from accusation. Be totally free from all critical statements. Be totally free and not condemned, not guilty, but free, spirit, soul, and body. I'm asking you, Lord God, to send forth your angelic host to open the doors to where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do. Close the doors on areas where they are not to go. Show them the love of God. Show them where they stand is where they should be. They can stay where you brought them. They can do what you call them to do. And they're more than capable to achieve and to go beyond their understanding, what they can see, but what you can do. Open the doors of what they can accomplish in your name and by your spirit. I ask for healing, spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Amen. And amen. As you leave here this morning, remember to greet somebody. Tell them you appreciate them. Go ahead and tell somebody you appreciate them and love them. Amen.